Hey, it's Chris Jericho here, and I am the next guest on Screen and Beyond. Please watch, or I will cry. Literally.
On Screen and Beyond, an inside look into the entertainment world featuring interviews with people from the movie, TV, and music industry, news on upcoming TV and DVD releases, and the rumor mill. And now, here's the host of On Screen and Beyond, Brian Zemrak.
Happy New Year, and welcome to On Screen and Beyond. I'm your host, Brian Zemrak. This is episode 668 of the show that keeps you updated on what's coming your way as far as upcoming new movies, remakes, sequels, and TV and movie DVD releases, as well as our interview segment with a guest from the movie, TV, or music industry. This week on Screen and Beyond, Chris Jericho, wrestler extraordinaire, is going to be joining us, and he's also an actor. He was on Dancing with the Stars. He was in Sharknado 3, and now he's the executive producer of a documentary called The Death Tour. You got to hear this because it's a really fascinating film about wrestlers and, you know, going up on this tour up to Canada, way up, so not many people there and everything, and it's just you got to see this and hear this and see this film. But Chris Jericho is going to be joining us here at On Screen and Beyond, so stick around for that. First guests of the year here on Screen and Beyond. So we'll be getting that coming your way in just a few minutes. We've got some very interesting. It seems like things, like I've said before, that things are just rolling and coming at us left and right about all these films that are coming our way. So we got to keep you updated on that. Then we'll get into the interview with Chris Jericho. Now, this is going to be a short interview because Chris was right out straight, and I was lucky to get any time with him. But we hope you'll enjoy this episode of On Screen and Beyond. And if you did not get what you wanted for Christmas, you can still go to onscreenandbeyond.com. Go to On Screen and Beyond merchandise. There's a button right there, and click on that. It'll take you to the place where you can see all the stuff that we have: hats, t-shirts, mugs, water bottles, everything. And all the logos of On Screen and Beyond are on those items, and you can check them out. So hope you'll do that. And also, we wanted to tell you that if you could just keep listening to On Screen and Beyond, tell a friend and get, you know, download. That helps us out. The more downloads we have, of course, the more people who will come on the show, because if there's a lot of downloads, they want people to hear it. So that's a good thing. So we hope you'll do that to help us out. And I think we should get into it. Remakes, sequels, and prequels coming your way right here on Screen and Beyond.
Please hang up and try again.
Remake, sequels, and prequels? Well, Beetlejuice 2 with Michael Keaton and director Tim Burton arrives on September 6th this year. July 26th, fans of Deadpool will smile as Deadpool 3 jumps into theaters. And Captain America New World Order will hit theaters on February 14th, 2025. Naomi Scott will star in the next installment of Smile. And it looks like Christopher Abbott will star in Blumhouse and Universal's Wolfman. Now, Ryan Gosling was set to star, but now they're saying he's just going to be executive producing it. He won't be starring in it. So, that sounds like there's a story there. But anyways, that's it for remakes, sequels, and prequels. Coming up next on Screen and Beyond, upcoming new movies. Upcoming new movies, Pete Davidson says he is joining Eddie Murphy in the pickup for Amazon MGM Studios. Now, the pickup is the name of the movie, and that should be an interesting one. And it looks like Deadpool 3's director, Sean Levy, will direct the Ryan Reynolds heist comedy for Netflix. We talked about that earlier, but now Sean Levy is joined as the one who's going to be heading it. And Michael Mosley and Rob Margaret and Mira Sorvino will star in a college football dramatic comedy called Signing Day. That's it for upcoming new movies. Next on Screen and Beyond, it is movies and TV on DVD and streaming. Movies on TV and DVD and streaming. It looks like Anne Hathaway in Eileen will be moving on to Blu-ray DVD on January 30th. And you can catch Mary J. Blige in Mudbound on January 30th on DVD and Blu-ray. Justice League Crisis on Infinite Earths Part 1 on DVD and Blu-ray on January 23rd. And Farhaven, a Western with Nancy Stafford, Bailey Chase, and A. Martinez. Now, those are all past guests here at On Screen and Beyond. And you can check out Farhaven as it rides our way on January 9th on DVD. And be sure to go back and listen to our interviews. Go into our rerun section and look for Nancy Stafford, Bailey Chase, and A. Martinez. And hear their stories. And that's it for TV and movies on DVD and streaming. Coming up next on Screen and Beyond, it's TV and entertainment time.
Hi, I'm Shadow Stevens, and you're listening to the legendary On Screen and Beyond.
TV and entertainment time, Ken Jeong will reunite with his community co-star Joel McHale in Animal Control Season 2 as a guest star on the show, and that's on Fox. Brad Garrett will join the cast of Not Dead Yet Season 2. It's a comedy, and it's he's going to be a series regular. And now get this, a lot of you out there will like this show. Bridgerton Season 3 returns to Netflix with Part 1 premiering on May 16th, and Part 2 will be premiering on June 13th. And they say it's ultra sexy. All right, we'll see. We'll see about that. And that's it for TV and entertainment time. Coming up next on Screen and Beyond, it is time for Chris Jericho. Right here on Screen and Beyond. Today on Screen and Beyond, our guest is an actor, a singer, a dancer, a writer, and he has been wrestling champion. He is the executive producer of the documentary film The Death Tour, which has its world premiere at Slam Dance Film Festival on January 19th in Park City, Utah. It's the one and only Chris Jericho. Chris, welcome to On Screen and Beyond.
Excellent. Thank you.
Now, Chris, Death Tour. I've had a chance to watch the movie, and give our audience an idea of what this film is all about.
Well, I think when you are watching pro wrestling, you know, either if you're a diehard fan or whether you're just on the periphery watching it kind of once in a while, I don't think people realize just how much of a sacrifice it takes to get to being on national TV in the first place. It's not a natural, a given that you're going to be there. And I think something like the Death Tour is how you can start to maybe take those steps to get to that position. I don't think people realize that when you see just how much work, the talent and our guys and girls had to do on the Death Tour. And the Death Tour is the most grueling tour you can do as an independent wrestler, especially in Canada, just because of the elements, how cold it is, you know, traveling over frozen lakes, 16 hours, setting up the ring, being in these small, reservations, sleeping on floors, you know, paying so much money for small amounts of food. That's really paying your dues. And what that does is it makes you realize either you want to be in the pro wrestling business or you don't. And if you can survive and thrive a death tour, well, then that's kind of one step to get a little closer to being, a super famous international superstar. And that's why we wanted to make this documentary, to kind of show some of those trials and tribulations of what it takes and what you go through as a small time independent wrestler.
Yeah, it was a fascinating film. and I, like you say, I never realized how physically and mentally exhausting and demanding it was traveling, the people traveling like that and to nowhere. You know? I mean, really?
Well, yeah. I mean, once again, you're dealing with Northern Manitoba. So if you're from, you know, Texas, you might understand how hard that is. So, it's so cold there to get so far north that you have to travel over frozen lakes to kind of be a shortcut to get from A to B, sometimes 12 hours, sometimes 16 hours. You know, the problem is you're traveling, you know, once again, just that part alone, traveling over a frozen lake. Well, what happens if the lake is thin and you drive your van right through it and disappear forever? That could happen too. So there is the danger of literal death. But I think it's more of a mental death and maybe the death of a dream.
Yeah.
You know, if you think you want to be a wrestler, but you don't understand just, you know, the sacrifices you have to make to get there. I'm sure, and I know for sure, there's dozens, probably hundreds of guys and girls that have done the death tour that probably when they got home, took off their wrestling boots, put them in the closet and said, I'm going to go become an accountant.
Did you ever run through this death tour when you were first starting out?
I did one when I was first starting out. It was a summer death tour, which was the opposite. That'll be the sequel. But the good thing was I knew how hard it was that I really worked hard to get out of Canada. And I was working in Mexico or working in Japan. So every year when the death tour came up, all my friends were on them. But I was lucky because I wasn't in the country. I was working somewhere else. Had I not had those jobs, though, I would have been the first in line to submit my tape and picture to Tony to hopefully get on those tours because you got to work. And it becomes, once again, there's a real legendary status that you get if you can do a death tour. And I think a lot of Canadian wrestlers that are main eventers went through those tours. And all of us owe something to the promoter, Tony Candelo, for giving us a chance when we were first starting, even if that chance was this arduous task, you know, the five labors of Hercules that is known as the death tour.
Yeah. But one thing I noticed is that these people, the joy that was brought to them by these wrestlers just being there, the kids were just going crazy watching them.
Well, yeah, I mean, once again, when you're living so far north or any small town across Canada or America or whatever, you know, AEW is not coming to town to do the Enormo Dome. You know, there's not going to be a WrestleMania held in your town. So these, you know, the death tour comes to town and anybody that's on the show by proxy becomes the hero of the night. That's the superhero that they see on TV. Well, now it's real life pro wrestlers right in front of me. That's addictive and it's exciting, you know, and for the guys and girls on the tour as well, they get a chance to be the superhero that they want to be. So it's a real reciprocal situation. And I think that's, once again, capturing that on film, it's very heartwarming, but it also shows why would you want to do a death tour and travel for 22 hours? Well, because you get these 20 minutes in the ring to be somebody that you always wanted to be. And that's enough of a natural high to want to do it.
Yeah. I remember as a kid growing up, you know, with, of course I was different wrestlers at that time. There was Ivan Putski and Chief J Strongbow and, you know, those people, Turo Tanaka and those people. But, it was a thrill, you know, to be able to see these people. It's really, you know, it is a tour that, is grueling on them, but like I say, it's just so, you know, fulfilling for these people to see it. Like you say, they're not going to bring a whole WrestleMania type thing to an event, a place like that, because it's too small.
No, so that's the thing. Like, you know, to do these tours, as grueling as it is, once again, it kind of can prove to yourself either A, I can do this, or B, I don't want to. And it also really gives you that little bit of the buzz that you feel when you have a crowd cheering for you, or a crowd booing for you if you're a bad guy. And you can see there's a great scene in the movie where Sage, one of our, you know, First Nation wrestlers, is surrounded by little kids just freaking out and you know, chanting her name and so excited to see her. And it's like, it looks like something from, you know, Hard Day's Night. She's just surrounded by fans. Yeah. And she's probably never experienced that before and may never experience it again. I don't know. But for that night and for that tour, she was exactly what she always wanted to be. And those kids thought that she was exactly what they needed too, which is an actual real life hero to help them get their lives together. And that's another thing too. You can see the wrestlers speaking to the kids and giving them advice and to stay away from addictions and stay away from gangs, because, you know, small town reservations in Northern Canada, it's ripe with that sort of thing. And there's probably 90% of the people that are going to take the wrong road. But if you can give somebody a chance to take the right road, that's gratifying too. That's another reason why these tours and the death tour is so important, because it brings a lot of life. You know, you can call it the life tour as far as the fans are concerned, giving them something to believe in.
Yeah. Yeah. And how did you become involved with the film?
You know, it's one of those things where it came across my proverbial desk to be involved as a producer, and you know, having so much experience with the tour and just knowing all the stories and knowing everybody that's been on them, so many people that have been on them, I just really wanted to help them out from a wrestling standpoint. Cause a lot of times when, you know, directors make a movie that aren't in the wrestling business, a lot of things might slip through the cracks as far as to what wrestling is, and in telling some of these stories too, having been there. So yeah, and you know, it was something to help shape the movie, help with the edits, and kind of help with the streamline of it. You know, it was gratifying for me as well, because I was able to give some of my experience to help make the movie better, and we all worked together very hard to get this thing, you know, premiering at Slam Dance, which that's huge. There's thousands and thousands of submissions every year, and Death Tour was chosen right out of the gate. I mean, that takes a lot of work from a lot of creative and talented people to put together a riveting story. Yep. So I'm very proud of my involvement with the Death Tour.
Yeah. Well, final quick question. What's your favorite TV shows now and of the past, and what's your favorite movies now and of the past? What do you enjoy watching?
I mean, it's hard. There's so many shows that are like movies right now. I'm actually watching Succession right now, which is a great movie. A great TV series. Yeah, there's so much to watch. You know, The Righteous Gemstones was great. I'm into Creepshow on Shudder. I like The Mandalorian. Yellowstone is amazing. You know, as far as movies goes, I love documentaries. You know, I just watched a documentary on the Olympic Auditorium in Los Angeles, which is a famous boxing wrestling arena. You know, I like the real stories of the documentaries, and that's why I was very attracted to making documentaries. And the Death Tour is my second. I've got three more on the go. So this was a great experience. And once again, you know, for my second, my first film went right to Amazon Prime. My second film is going to Slam Dance to premiere. It's not a bad track record for Chris Jericho, the documentarian.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Chris, thank you so much for taking the time to share with us. People should look out for January 19th for the Death Tour. And thank you so much for joining us.
I appreciate it, man. Thanks, Brian.
A big shout out going to Chris Jericho for joining us here at On Screen and Beyond. And I want to thank him so much for taking time. He's just a busy guy and he's got so many things that he was doing. We did be able to get him down for a few minutes to talk to him, and we appreciate that very much. And like you say, he was on Dancing with the Stars and Sharknado 3. And of course, on the ring, he defeated The Rock. How many people can do that? So anyways, be sure to check out his movie that he is the executive producer on. It is called The Death Tour, and it's about wrestlers. It's a documentary, and it's a fascinating film. Be sure to check that out. And we have more and more things coming your way for this year at On Screen and Beyond. We have some fascinating guests, and we hope that you will keep listening to On Screen and Beyond, and tell a friend to, you know, take a little listen, go back and listen to, well, we got 668 episodes, so there's bound to be somebody that they would enjoy hearing, you know, whether it be Mark Cuban or Bob Barker or you know, Meatloaf or any of these people that we've had over the years. And we've had Mickey Rooney and just so many other people. And just check it out. Go through all of our list of people, and you can see these people, or listen to these people tell their stories. So hope you'll do that. And download every episode if you could. That will help us out. And be sure to leave a review on wherever you're getting your podcasts. You know, leave a 5-star review would be great, because that'll help us out and get more people to know about the show. And that's it. That is a wrap for this episode of On Screen and Beyond. So until next time, when we once again take you on screen and beyond, I'm Brian Zemirak. Take care.